What's up, guys? Welcome to this episode of the Friday Sessions. I am joining you today from Marseille in the south of France. I'm joined by the three amigos. This one was a really jam-packed session. We covered so much stuff. We talked about some of the absolute insanity that is going on in the UK. I'm about to jump on a plane to join Tommy Robinson and the team over there in London this weekend. We talk about just this insane story of a illegal immigrant live streaming his journey all the way on the black dinghy, all the way to the shores, across the channel, into a UK four-star hotel. It's a story that'll blow your mind. We talked about the falling US dollar and how the Bank of America came out this week to formally warn of the collapse of the US dollar. Pretty alarming stuff. We talked about the emergence of AI, and is there a bigger plan behind this managed decline? It looks like the politicians from these Western countries are kind of working together. What is that plan? Why is this actually happening? We talked about how life gets cheaper in Bitcoin, and we shared actual real numbers on everyday consumer items that you guys are buying at Woolies and Coles, and how those things are getting drastically cheaper if you live in a Bitcoin world. We go through the actual numbers just this year, which is really quite interesting. We then talk about this incredible offer from Tesla, or from Tesla to Elon, to try and secure him a $1 trillion pay package to Elon Musk. What's involved, why it's important to you, and how you can actually profit from it, and so much more. Stick around right to the end, because we fired up in the very last 3 minutes where we shared some really practical stuff about what the antidote is to this negative world that we live in now, what we actually do every single day to stay positive, stay curious, stay moving forward. With that said, let's get into it. What's up, guys? It's good to be back. I am now in the south of France in Marseille. I missed you guys. I was at sea. I felt at sea emotionally, like I was disconnected from the boys. What have you been up to? What's happening?
Didn't look like you were missing us, mate. It's actually nice to see you in a dark room without the sun setting or the sun rising or the beautiful Mediterranean behind us. Half your luck, you have to sit with us for an hour.
Well, you know, can't help bad luck.
No, but, it's been awesome watching your posts. You're making me dream of European summer.
You made me book. We booked, man. For next year.
Look, it's crazy. It's such a nice time of year here. And but you know what? It's good. It's good just to get away. You know, like, I know it looks like I'm always away, but just like literally being at sea and just disconnecting and just having that time to really reflect on, you know, where you're at in your life and decisions that you're making. I just think for all the listeners, even if it's just a mini break, Mark, I saw you doing some camping, and I just think getting your head out of that day-to-day routine is just so valuable. I just spent a lot of time really just thinking, a lot of time on my own, and it was just super valuable. But anyway, we got lots on the ticket today, guys, and I don't know really where to start, because man, there's so much happening. You know, I thought we might just start with the, you know, something that's just happening in my life right now, which is I'm preparing in a couple of days to head up to London. So I'm going from here to Monaco and then Nice and then out to London. And I'm meeting Tommy Robinson on the weekend for his Freedom March. I was speaking to Tommy yesterday. He is absolutely under the pump, as you can imagine. They're predicting close to 1 million people will be on the streets. Jeez. Of London, and we're meeting, of course, Perry, who's one of the owners of Unemployable with us up there. It's such a tinderbox up there in the UK at the moment. So much happening. We're seeing, you know, the police stepping up their arrests of citizens. Somebody got arrested yesterday for calling someone a Muppet because it offended them. But I saw something in the week that I thought was really interesting and just gives people something to think about. And the reason we keep talking about this, guys, is because, you know, we're an Australian podcast and, you know, a lot of our audience is Australian. But one story caught my attention this week, which was that there's a live streamer. I don't know if you saw this story, Alexandra 4200, and it's Alexandra with a D-R-A-H at the end. But he's been kicked off socials. But essentially, this is a guy that is an illegal immigrant who live streamed in a partnership with the people smugglers who were selling a £12,000 package to be smuggled into the UK. And he basically live streamed himself going from port jumping on the dinghy, say, hey guys, we're now on the dinghy, we're going across the channel to embarkation into the UK, escorted through the facility that receives them, taken to a 4-star hotel. They just go, here I am guys, I'm in the hotel, it's all true, it's fantastic, I've got food, I've got this beautiful room, look at me. And he's literally live streaming this out. And so social media, of course, have taken it all down now, but the story blew up online. And it just shows you, like, when people, you know, it's one thing to talk about illegal immigration, right? We've banged on about it here a million times. But you got to understand that there's people who are actually making a ton of money by illegally immigrating people into countries with soft borders. And it really just, it put a whole different spin on it when I read this article. What do you guys think of this when you hear this?
Man, I can't come over the border, right, with dirt on my golf shoes, right, from Canada. How the hell do they get people into countries? Like, this is what I don't understand. Like, people are trying to smuggle all kinds of things into this country, right? Good luck trying. But people, but hang on, should be the hardest thing.
You can't get a fucking sausage in.
Adam, you know what I mean? You're saying that the UK government is putting them up in 4-star hotels, these illegal immigrants?
Correct.
Why?
After they've hit the shore.
Oh, yeah, after they've hit the shore, they're processed, they're taken to the 4-star hotel, they're given a list of things that they have access to. It's just absolutely insane. And
so just to go back one sec, because I'm a bit confused. So the illegal human traffickers get paid the 12 grand, they dump them off on the mainland, and then they go, I'm an immigrant and I'm stranded. Then the government picks them up and puts them up in the hotel.
Correct. They get taken. They have people on the boats, James, that are guiding them on what to say and what to do. It's an end-to-end package that includes fake documents and inland travel and onto the dinghy. So this guy literally live streamed the whole thing, and it's gotten people outraged. And then on the other side, the British, who are then furious, are being arrested and controlled to an even further extent.
Before we go back and pull on that thread a bit, Mark, I just talking about the arrests, I saw one piece there. There was a war veteran in a wheelchair with a British flag, got arrested by six people, picked him up out of his wheelchair, man can't walk, and heaved him off for having the British flag.
Waving the British flag at a pro-Palestine protest. And he got literally carried off out of his wheelchair and arrested.
Six coppers.
Yeah. Mark?
I mean... If anyone is at home, I'm going to watch what I say here. Jeez, I'm going to get myself in trouble. But if anyone is at home wondering why we're talking about this, well, I was reading the comments of last week's show, and I got told on our own podcast that I won't say which race that they said, but they said, once we've deported all the X race, you're next, Mark. You wog, or something along those lines, and I just laugh because I think it's funny. But
maybe the beard's got you a bit misrepresented. Who knows?
Yeah, but it's.
Sorry, didn't see you there. While you're here, actually, we've got a new coaching cohort that just opened up for the Unemployable Property Coaching Program that you get taught on how to become a property developer. One-on-one coaching, bi-monthly coaching, and also events where we get a full coach bus with all the students and go to 6-7 different development sites. When I say development sites, from one lot to 10 lots to 50 lots, you get to see exactly why we buy it, how we buy it, how we fund it, and also how you can do it yourself. The next day, we had an amazing event at the QT Hotel here on the Gold Coast where we had all of our consultants come in and teach everybody on what they're looking for with sites, what are the different trends, and how you can become a property developer yourself. Now you see me on the video, but who you're gonna be getting coached by is Shannon and Carson. Who's Shannon and Carson? 4 years ago, Carson was cleaning carpets. Shannon was a machine operator. Today, they're doing over $100 million worth of land deals. I know you're listening, and I know you want to take action. And if that's you, click on the link below or go to www.unemployableproperty.com bus.com.au and register your interest, and one of our team will reach out to you, and we'll see you on the next bus. Now get out of here.
Well, he was accurate. He said, I'm a wall. He didn't call me Israeli or Iraqi or Afghani or something like that. But no, I think it's relevant. It's extremely relevant because a lot of people are disappointed and frustrated and upset in a lot of countries, not just the UK, in Australia, in America, everywhere, France. Immigration is a huge problem everywhere. But the thing that I find, and look, I'm pro-immigration. I generally think that Western countries need quality immigration with declining birth rates to offset declining birth rates. We need quality immigration to keep the economy ticking. Otherwise, you'll get your cheaper house prices, but you'll get a depression along with it. That's my opinion. But what I find incredible is how anyone who goes and wears an Australian flag or wears a UK flag to basically show their support for their country and to express their concern about immigration is getting labeled or associated with Nazis and far-right fractions. And like, we're almost being told by our leaders that we're the scum of the earth for simply having these concerns about immigration and things like that. And like, why is it happening? Like, what? And you know, like, I don't want to put the tinfoil hat on, but all the conspiracies have come true, right? And it just, for six cops to pick up a man in a wheelchair and carry him away and arrest him for holding a British flag or a UK flag, it screams of coordination and effort, extreme effort and coordination. Like, we can't have gotten so, like, just ridiculous that we don't know what we're doing. Like, these people in charge have to have some sort of understanding as to what they're doing.
Yeah, but not only that. So, like, a British person with a British flag, well, their quality swung away too far. You allowed Palestinians there with Palestinian flag, and they're allowed to go about their day, but a national is not.
That's a crazy part, but I think I think we all agree on that, James. Like, it's obscene, and it's happened in Australia. There's footage out this week of guy drops an Australian flag over a bridge where the Palestinian protest was, and they cut the guy off with the Australian flag. Right? Like, it's like, what?
But they're making the thing is on the news. They're showing it, right? They want people to see it. That's the thing. They want everyone to see the guy in the wheelchair being taken away. Because what is the message they're trying to tell you? Don't do that yourself, or else the same thing is going to happen to you. No. So they put the fear of God in you.
But it's also inciting violence as well, right? And I think sometimes part of the plan is to incite violence so that then there's violence at these protests, and then they can point the cameras and say, look, you know, scum of the earth, don't associate with these people. And then, yeah you're right. And then that virtually scares everyone else from being part of it. But look, I think that obviously a large part of it is trying to gain new voters, right? A new voting base. But do you guys think that there's more sinister motives behind it? And if so, what are the more sinister motives than trying to gain a voter base?
I have one theory, Mark, that's not fully formed. I will share it. I just want to share one more thing on it before I jump into it, which was this week talking about what you said, Eric, about, you know, showing it and saying, listen, comply. In your home country, Eric, I don't know if Jen showed you, but I texted Jen a video of a Canadian woman on her social media just going off about this police.
Now, what was it?
Your head of police went on national TV and spoke about this person who, there was a home invasion and a person was injured, and I believe somebody was raped during the home invasion. And the police commissioner's gone on TV and said, look, guys, our best advice is when somebody breaks into your home, just comply. And that was literally what they said, just comply. And like, the Canadians, obviously the far right crazies, have gone, you know what, you can just F right off, right? They're the far right extremists that, you know, of course, that are saying, give us back our guns. How about you give us back our guns, and then we'll be able to not comply. And so to that point, Eric, is are they trying to send that message of just complying? And so, Mark, to maybe one sinister motive, and I don't know, I'm just freeballing here, and I know there are people watching the pod. I get it every day. Everyone says manage decline, it's the plan and all this. I haven't read into that enough yet, but I think I might need to because there's something going on. I don't know, Mark, because one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot lately, and we've spoken about a few times, is this emergence of AI. And where I think the intersection might be is that, like, just this week, ANZ announced laying off 3,500 employees in Australia. I think it was yesterday the story came out. So they're letting go 3,500. I read the article, and they didn't say because of AI, but I'm pretty much guessing because of AI, right? I think the job losses are going to be absolutely enormous and much faster than people realize, because that's how capitalism works. If the bank, ANZ, goes and fires $3,500 people and puts all of those wages straight into their bottom line results, that gives them a competitive advantage in the marketplace from a financial point of view, and then all the other banks are going to go and do the same thing. And all of a sudden, four banks, 3,000 employees, 12,000 Australians out of jobs in the middle of a housing crisis and living cost crisis, right? That's just banks. That's just the beginning. And so then you've got small businesses, and the way the government's gone with the employment law in Australia, more and more small businesses are just not hiring Australians. So they're psychotic if they do. So I think they know that with the emergence of AI, this is just a theory, that there is going to be mass layoffs and mass unemployment. And UBI is going to need to come in, and universal basic income of some form, which will be a digital currency probably issued by the government. And I was reading something this week about, I wasn't reading something. Somebody told me, who's in the know in this area, said, Adam, I know people who know about this stuff, and there's only one country in the world that has the technology to provide CBDC currency with the controls in place, and that's China. China is the only country that has the necessary technology available to monitor CBDCs properly. And so maybe that's what's coming. Maybe they need compliance and they need control, because there's going to be real problems when AI really kicks. And I think it's coming, and I think it's coming quickly. I mean, ANZ 3,500 this week.
It's a desensitization exercise. Like, just keep showing the most outrageous things, get people desensitized from, when I was camping on the weekend out an hour from where I live, and the property, it was someone's private property, and then they have like a couple of campsites in it, in a little section where you can rent them out for a night or two or whatever it is. And he came up and he said hello, and he was helping out and whatever. And we got chatting, and he used to be like a personal trainer in the US and used to work. I won't mention the company, whatever, work with companies, turnaround companies. Anyway, he came to Australia about 6 years ago, buys this property, backing onto a conservation reserve, one road in, one road out. Self-sustained power, self-sustained water, has a creek at the base of the property, right? So it's fully self-sustained. And we got talking, and he wasn't like outright crazy, but he was basically saying, like, the gist of what he was saying is that there's a spiritual war going on, and full down the rabbit hole. But that was what encouraged him to go out there and buy that property and do that thing, because from what he can see and what he understands, things are only going to get worse and worse and worse. So whether you think this guy's a nut or you think we're nuts for talking about it, the reality is there's people out there that are adopting strategies to plan for worst case scenarios. Now, they're getting that from somewhere, right? Like, they're...
Yeah,
there's heaps of billionaires that have bought properties with bunkers in New Zealand. Like, yeah. Why?
Well, like the doomsday prepper, but sort of like a survival life. It was massive in the States for a while, wasn't it?
It's
prepping for that alternate exit.
If you seen the comments from last week's pod, there was one person that was talking about how, you know, I love the pods, but like these ones are starting to get a bit depressing, right, on some of the stuff that we're talking about, right? But what people got to, we're not trying to depress people with these things. We're just trying to bring it out into the open, because the reality is everyone is so busy in their everyday lives that they're not researching, they're not seeing these things. And I want people to be aware that this is a form of education for you. Take it however you want, right? Like I know, you know, Mark's probably the more spiritual one out of all of us four, and he's probably talking to that guy and going, you know what, you make a lot of sense. Whereas someone else would be talking to him and going, hey, like, what mushrooms have you been on, right? So, but everyone has it, right? Everyone has a different angle. And I want to be very, very clear. We're not trying to, the guy mentioned it. He's like, oh, it's like selling sex and it's like selling, you know, bad news. It gets the attention. That's not the reason why we're actually doing this, guys. We're doing this so people can wake up and smell the coffee of what's happening in plain sight while everyone is watching maths and the rest of it. Like, this is the stuff that is literally happening. I have seen this happen over the last 10 years in Canada. And everyone's like, oh, I've seen this happen. It's happening here in front of our eyes, right?
And it's, yeah, we're trying to prepare you guys for, you know, just being very, very aware at the moment, because if you're not prepared, I really think I would love to. It seems that the world shifted after COVID, but I think there's some fundamental changes happening. Yeah.
But there's a business lesson in all of this as well, right? Like I posted this to my Instagram the other day. Perhaps the most underrated skill in building a business is the unwillingness to conform. We live in a time when pressure to conform has never been greater. You only need to glance at the headlines. History shows us that a population willing to conform is a population willing to harm. Conformity feels safe, but it kills creativity, progress, and ultimately freedom. And if this is a business podcast, which it is, and a macro and political podcast, right, the conforming and speaking your truth and being willing to critically think and say things that maybe people disagree with or call you crazy for, these are the traits required to be successful in these fields, right? How many people like Bezos and Musk and Gates and all these people out there that are like ultra successful, and we're not saying go out there and try and be ultra successful, but every single one of them is being called crazy. And so I'm okay with people saying that we're a little bit crazy and we're talking about things that are weird, because it's our ability to think and to think through these things that are happening and then to make decisions about how we protect or go on with our family's lives. I mean, they're important to any venture that you're trying to do involving money.
Talking about crazy, if you're going to call Elon crazy, a $1 trillion pay packet crazy, I'll take that.
I want to jump into that, James. I got that down as a talking point, Elon's $1 trillion package. And I also want to talk about the mRNA vaccines in via livestock in Australia, which is a huge story. I want to get back to both of these. But just before we move off this and just echoing what Mark said, if you need to be able to notice what's happening in the world. And then as an entrepreneur and an investor, when you do notice, you need to make decisions based on what you're noticing. And so I want to give you a couple of other tangential points to this control thing before we move on. As of September 1st, so 8 days ago in the UK, it's now illegal to get more than £3,000 out of the bank in a day. So they've now put capital controls in place. You can't take more than $3,000 of your own money out of a bank in the United Kingdom as of September 1st, right? Flat out, straight up capital controls, right? So you can think what you want to think about that and why that might be. Another point that I want to just throw into the bonfire here, Bank of America this week came out. Bank of America, this is like National Australia Bank or Commonwealth in America, one of the top four in America, much bigger than those our banks, right? Much, much bigger. Warning of the US dollar collapse, which is interesting. Bank of America, this isn't some, you know, Alex Jones, right? And they said that this year, the US dollar has lost 6% of its purchasing power year to date. Gold is having its best year in the history of gold in thousands of years, best year in the history of gold. In the last 5 years, gold has, the US dollar has lost 84%. In the last 5 years, it's lost 84% of its value in gold terms. So relative to
84% versus gold.
Relative to a hard asset like gold, it is down 84%.
Or said the other way, gold is up 84% in US dollar terms.
Yes. And yes, that's right. So if you denominated your life in gold, you would be, everything got 84% cheaper. Bitcoin, it's even crazier. I won't even give you the number, but it makes
sense. Adam, just on the gold point, go and have a look at India, China, Turkey. Go and have a look at these countries versus gold, and it's over 100% as well.
It's crazy. And meanwhile, you've got China, US, Euro, Japan. Their M2 money printing is now on all of these countries at all-time highs. So they're printing money like crazy. Gold's going through the roof. The value of the dollar is falling through the floor. And I saw an article, a post this week, which I shared on my socials. Again, just getting people to think about how they denominate their life. If you denominated your life in Bitcoin, for example, and you are saving in Bitcoin, year to date, the cost of pork-related goods like bacon and pigs and everything is down 44%. Orange juice is down 46%. Cheese is down 30%. Corn is down 28%. Fuel is 32% cheaper. Cattle, all beef products, is 24% cheaper. Wheat is 23% cheaper. And milk is 22% cheaper if you are denominating your life in Bitcoin, crazy. People just can't flip their heads. Eric,
and this is all
connected. You know where people
are putting their money. The riots on the street, the marches, the complicity, it's all connected because these, if you go back and look at history, these are the story of civilization, 11 volumes. I haven't read them yet, but I'm going to. But if you go back and look at all these times in history, the common thread is the debasement of the currency. And when that gets to this end point that we're at now, we start seeing all the chaos on the streets. It's all linked.
You need to be buying assets. We say it over and over and over again. But let me tell you, I will be talking to a majority of the people that watch this podcast and share it around, the people that are sitting there with money in the bank, sitting against their offset account, because that's what they've been taught. Get that money out and buy something. Buy some assets, honestly. I know there will be majority of
TVs.
You know what? Like if anyone wants, I'm looking at starting a boat business in the UK. All right, I'm getting a boat, and there's a business there, Adam. I'm telling you, right?
If Let's it's get that some easy black to bring dinghies. People in,
right? Like honestly,
how good a marketers can they be? These people smugglers. Let's get after it.
We'll do webinars, everything.
Now, the system is you actually drop with their Welcome to Britain info pack. You know what I mean? It's like probably got the Queen's stamp on it or whatever.
Hey, but hey Adam, I've got a name as well. Reliable Immigration.
Oh, that's funny. But look, we don't have to worry about the smugglers here. We just get 1,500 a day flying.
We'll get 1,500 unemployables a day.
but you actually have to laugh.
Actual unemployables for life.
Yeah, you literally have to laugh, right? Because again, it is something like that guy's right. Like some of these topics are quite depressing. Like when you think of it, 100%. And you're thinking like, well, like where the world is heading, and then you know, the reality is. Most people will watch this and then just go on and go to dinner and get smacked in the face by life and take the kids to school and take the, but the key is like, you need to take some kind of action. Like when I'm talking to people and I'm saying, do something, buy some assets, right? Not jet skis, Adam. I know you're joking, but do something with it. Like I know you guys are all just sitting there and we're telling you the stats. Yeah. Adam is telling you the stats week after week after week after week, right? You guys are the ones that need to take action. That is the key here. We're taking action. Mark is taking action. He's showing his action live. He's up, he's down, he's up, he's down. He's being vulnerable, right? He is not an expert. He is learning just like every single one of us, right? Adam took a punt putting all his superannuation, right, into one stock. Right, because he was convicted and he was educated. Well, that stock is worth a lot more today than his initial investment. But the key is taking action. I had a message today, right, on Instagram, and these are becoming more and more common. Right. And it says, truly, your pod has helped me open my eyes in a way of thinking, and I'm so grateful. I'm surrounded by people that aren't open to the way the world is changing. So it's your pod that's giving me the courage to try and better myself. But the key, what she said, I'm surrounded by people that aren't open to the, that is the key, because majority of the people, right, that you surround yourself with, most people don't think like us. They're not talking about these topics, right? They're talking about the NRL grand final and this is happening and fuel prices and these types of things. That is not going to get you ahead in life. So these depressing topics, if they're depressing you, it's probably a good thing, because that's the people that need to wake up the most.
James, let's change gears. I know it's a little bit of a depressing subject, but it's as well, but it's actually really interesting and alarming. And I'd never heard of it until before we rolled tape just today. Give us the headline, Jack, because I want to get onto some positive stuff at the end. There's a couple of really cool stories, like the Elon package. I want to talk about a new billionaire that's just been announced, you know, which will be exciting for people to know that somebody else is a billionaire while we're all struggling. So James, let's jump into that. So what's the headline? This is, yes, guys, listen up to this. It's amazing. And we're getting it straight from the country boy himself.
Yeah. So there's been an agreement to go through that, they'll be injecting, or whichever way they're going to administer, a new mRNA drug into our livestock for foot and mouth disease. So, we had no choice in it. It got passed immediately. So you'll be consuming animal products that have been injected with an untested, unsafe mRNA product without your consent. So
where is this story, James? Give us the context. Like, give us the context. Where's this story been announced? Can you read it to us?
Yeah, Australia's developed the first mRNA vaccine worldwide for foot and mouth disease. In cattle, with current debate focused on potential biosecurity benefits and concerns raised about the impact on animal human health. This is a distillation of it on Perplexity. So it was created through a collaboration between New South Wales government and Tibia Biotech and
Bill and Melinda Gates.
You got it. Supported by Bill and Melinda Gates and Meat and Livestock Association. So the safety and deployment, initial studies showed that the vaccination were fully protected with no viral shedding, blah blah blah, but the industry reaction is that and conclusion is that it's untested. It was got rushed through. There's no choice.
But it's just a plan at the moment. It's not confirmed.
Is it?
It says at the start of the article, has issued a warning about a plan to inject livestock with newly developed mRNA vaccine.
Okay, so but it's not in law yet. It's just a plan. Okay.
Announced this month, they've developed a breakthrough vaccine, which is not present as a part, but it's in discussion. But you imagine the knock-on effect from that, right? A, just for as a consumer, you either have to, A, grow your own cattle or sheep, because it'll be in sheep, it'll come to sheep as well down the track, but also for the producers. When something like that, something goes viral in the livestock industry, it shuts it down. Remember when a while ago they had that equine flu? And they had to slaughter all the horses. The horses couldn't move from paddock to paddock, a whole lot. I mean, what it did to an industry was incredible. And having grown up on the land and been, my father was a livestock agent, seeing firsthand what this does to the primary producers, because they'll have no choice. If it gets passed, they will have to do that with their animals. Their animals won't be let on trucks that haven't been vaccinated or have that mRNA vaccination. The cattle yards they get processed through, the processing, the meatworks, the whole lot, will be a complete upheaval on that production line. So
are you sure they haven't, you said sheep and cattle, right?
The cattle
at the moment. Are you sure that they haven't started that already? Because I eat a lot of sheep and cattle, and I think that's a very bad move.
Oh my god.
You were just waiting to get that in, weren't you, Eric? You were waiting to get that in. Right, let's keep an eye on that story, because obviously I can't imagine how that would ever get through, but you know what? Stranger things have happened.
Mark. Just a little side note at the end of the article. So Stockman Steaks is issuing the warning after last year it announced it would not use methane-reducing feed supplement Boeva that sparked food safety fears. So Coles, all Coles' meat, is putting this methane-reducing feed supplement. So basically, so cows fart less, right? They're putting it in their meat, and there's safety fears around that ingredient. And a lot of like the independent butchers and stuff have like said, we don't use it. I go to a butcher here in Byron, everything's organic, top notch. Like I speak to the owner, and we like, this is a side note, but there is so much shit in our food that is poisoning us, right? Things that we think are healthy that are just stacked with preservatives and bullshit. And I know it's got nothing to do with making money, but if you want to live longer in order to enjoy your money, like you really need to start investigating what's in your food as well, because it'll shock the shit out of you.
It'd be good, Mark, if you've got like, if you can find somebody for the pod who's like really schooled up on like what's in our food, I'd love to have them on the pod. Mm-hmm. I reckon that would be really interesting for Australians.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe you can interview them, and we'll just put out a special session with you and that person. That'd be cool.
Yeah, cool. I'll try and find someone.
Yeah. All right. Let's change gears. Couple of, interesting stories this week. We see Eric Trump is now officially a billionaire. Isn't it great when your dad's the president of the United States, passing laws left and right to free up crypto regulation, and then your son just becomes a billionaire? Amazing world that we live in. It's almost like watching a circus, isn't it?
I just love that they have the balls to announce it. Yeah. That's like a microphone drop, like just bang, like, you know?
Yeah,
by the way,
not just a billionaire. I think it was 3.2 billion he made because it's a Bitcoin mining operation IPO'd. So, but then you know they announced that. But I was listening to Steve Bannon interviewed about 1 o'clock this morning. Couldn't sleep. And he was talking about the balls on Trump and just talking about what's happening down the southern border. You've got UK that is coming in with their gift pack. We're flying them all in, and basically Trump has stopped immigration across that border nearly completely, depending on who you listen to. So he might announce those things with his son and crypto, which we all benefit from, obviously, because we're all crypto heads. But he certainly puts his money where his mouth is when it comes to immigration into America.
I couldn't even get in. I got turned back at the airport because my visa wasn't right. So
that's because you're popping buttons, bro. That's all the problem.
Seriously, like I was turned back at Heathrow flying to the Bitcoin conference in Vegas, and it just shows you. Anyway, Eric, you were going to say something.
Did you guys hear about just with the whole immigration thing? Was it Hyundai or Kia in the States that just got busted having illegal immigrants working there? Did you guys hear that? The South Koreans?
I didn't
say it. Okay. I don't know enough about it. I heard about it, but I thought one of you guys might have known.
Let's move on to the Tesla story, because it's a groundbreaking package that they've offered Elon Musk. Talking about, guys, you know, I don't want it to sound, you know, like we're just focused on the capitalist side of this. We understand that there's massive unrest with AI disrupting things, right? But I'm just going to put my capitalist hat on now, my investor hat, and talk about this Tesla package and what it might mean in the future. I did a post actually on my Instagram about, you know, Cern Basher. So Cern Basher is a really well-known Tesla analyst, a massive Tesla bull. But he basically published a chart that you can look up, and it shows you how he believes that the Tesla share price will evolve between now and 2035, and it shows the attribution of value in the share price. So today, a lot of people think of Tesla as an automobile maker, but when you see the chart, you can see that cars in 2035 are just like this tiny little piece of the valuation of the company. A massive component will be humanoid robots. Even now, they're Optimus robots, they're robo-taxis, and Bitcoin holding, actually, by 2035 will make up a significant portion of their balance sheet based on even conservative estimates. So Cern Basher came out and released this, and I spoke about it and said, look, guys, look at the transformation. Even if Cern's wrong and of course he is, we just don't know by how much and in what direction, but it just speaks to how different the world may look in big tech in just 10 years from now, right? Like it completely restructured the business. But if you look at this particular package, just tying it to this Elon package, so basically they've offered him a package that is 423 million shares. If it gets exercised, it will require, which will be valued at this $1 point something trillion that would go to him. But to effectively get it, he needs to increase the overall value of Tesla by 8x, which when they're already so massive is a huge
8.5 trillion. The value of Tesla needs to go from whatever it is now to at least 8.5 trillion.
Yeah, and I think it's just on a trillion maybe at the moment. So it needs to 8x, which is a compound annual growth rate of about 25% per year for the next 10 years straight. So, and if he does it, those 423 million shares will give him 12% of the company and over $1 trillion reward.
He needs about 29%, but 29% of the company he'll end up with after that, which will be giving immense demand. I quick read of the article before.
Yeah,
I was just going to say they're voting on it in November, the shareholders. But I'm guessing that, of course, every shareholder will vote for that and go, hell yeah, if you can 8X our investment, have at it, you know. Thoughts on this?
So last time that got approved, a package like that, then they tried to fight it in court and it got overturned. And that's, I'm not sure if it's still going or not, but I've got a few thoughts on it. The first one is, and I heard this on Pomp and Geordie Visser, is what I find remarkable is that a lot of the haters that hate on Elon they say the same thing. This is going to end badly. It's going to end badly, but you know, what has he started that has ended badly so far, right? Like it might, but he's got a pretty good track record. I don't know if I would want to bet against him. But his pay package, Adam, is actually undervalued compared to the hedge fund guys that charge 2 and 20, right? They charge 2% annually and then 20% of profits. Well, Elon's like 1/8 instead of 20%, instead of 1/5. So he's actually undervalued for the value that he's going to create for shareholders. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the reason, you know, people who are not in the know probably run around and say, oh, Elon's just money hungry. For me, I think the reason that he wants this kind of package is because he maintains voting control. It's the number of shares that he needs to maintain control. That's why he doesn't ever get paid anything and he always works for shares, because he wants to maintain control. And when you think of it, love him or hate him, he wouldn't be able to create with Tesla what he's created and what he was going to create if he didn't have the control, because at every point people would vote against the long-term goals that he has for the company in order to profit or to increase profit in the short term. And, you know, I love you for posting that post that you did, because it really underscores an important point that for us who are starting out with nothing or near nothing, if we want to be successful, we need to be able to see the world not as it is, but the way that it's going to be in the future to make huge gains, right? Like I've been saying recently that easy money's been made in Bitcoin. It's like, yeah, it could do a 10X, but if you've only got 10K and it 10Xs, then you've got, you've got 100K. It's not life-changing money. So we need to be able to think not the way things are, but the way things are going to be in order to make that kind of those life-changing gains. So I think this is a perfect example of it, because so many people, big knobs in the industry, talk down to this guy all the time and about this guy all the time. And Pomp said something really good. He said, my theory is that I feel like these guys are envious because there's a guy out there that's taken the harder path, who slept on the factory floor and has sacrificed everything and done everything, and he's more successful than them and he's taken that harder path. I don't know. Like it's an
interesting point, Mike. I think the point there about life-changing money, and for the people who I said in my post, there are people who are reading this or watching this, because I did a live from up on the bar here at the hotel where I am, and I said, look at this thing from Cern Basher. There are people that if they're smart right now and they're willing to back their convictions, can literally change their family's futures. Like, like by investing in, if you're right, if Cern's right, you know, investing in things like Tesla can be life-changing for people, or Bitcoin can be life-changing for people. You know, that's actually how Michael Saylor from MicroStrategy, or now called Strategy, Saylor made his fortune not from founding his company Strategy, but from investing in Facebook, well, basically the Magnificent Seven.
Apple, Microsoft, yeah.
Yeah, he became a billionaire before he bought Bitcoin from investing in those emerging technologies. So this thing you're doing right now, guys, and listening to this podcast or watching it on YouTube, and people smarter than us by a mile, listening to people like James and Invest Answers and these people that are on the sort of cutting edge of these things, this is where you can actually invest your way to massive life change.
Yeah.
Can I throw another little nugget in the mix? And this is what I've actually started spending more time on. So you invest in Tesla now and he succeeds, you get an 8X. You get 8X in Tesla, you get an 8X in Bitcoin. It's great. It's good. It's definitely, if you've got money, it's definitely where I'd be considering looking at putting some money. But what we want to encourage on this podcast, and this is where the positivity is filtered through this podcast, is don't just think, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to invest in Tesla. Or don't just sit there and say, I fucking hate Elon, I'm not going to invest in Tesla, and dismiss it. Think about the second and third order effects about what we've just discussed is going to mean. So if Elon is able to realize that $8 trillion valuation with robotics, what are the parts or the raw materials or the things that are going to need to go into those humanoid robots?
Correct.
That a company now that's worth $500 million sells, and they're one of three companies in the US or in the world that sells them, and their market cap could go up 100x over that same time because you're willing to get outside your closed-minded beliefs, willing to look past the man and look past the company and the optics and the politics of it all and think, how can I and my family benefit from what he's going to be? Hate him or love him, it doesn't matter. Like, just get out of your ego, get out of your head, and do something with it.
Just on that point too, I mean, it'd be pretty safe to say now he's not really just in it for the money anymore. I mean, the guy's got more money, thank God, but he actually works harder than any CEO on planet Earth across three companies. Yep. Like, he's not there just for the coin, and lives in a tiny home. I mean, it's not exactly 40 as well.
It's about attention, right? It's about attention as well. At the end of the day, you know, he wants to have a foray in politics and who knows what else he wants to get up to, right? Now, that's a pretty good carrot to incentivize someone to go, you know what, I'm actually not going to go down that road anymore. I'm just going to concentrate solely on this mission. Because at the end of the day, Elon Musk has an expiry date. He's not going to be with us forever, right? At some point, that guy will pass. Then what happens? And maybe. I think there's...
Right? Yeah, maybe. He's creating neural links, so his consciousness might be able to live on.
But you know what I mean, right? So it's like, if he might have, say, another... I don't know how old he is, probably in his mid-50s, early 50s, but say he's got a good X amount of years left, they're going to want his attention. Because if it's not going to be them, it's going to be somebody else. And in my opinion, they're offering him this because what happened to Tesla as soon as he said, I'm going for president, I'm going to run for politics, right?
I'm
Tesla,
pretty sure it's him demanding it, not him offering it.
But you know what I mean? Like, Tesla got shooken up, and then it was like, oh my God, what's going to happen to Tesla when Elon Musk is going to run for president and he's going to take the eye off the ball and all this kind of thing, right? So now, even just this, imagine what it would do to the Tesla stock if this got approved.
Well, I think it will get approved. I don't think there's any doubt it'll get approved in November. And to be clear, it wasn't the shareholders that complained. It was only a few activist shareholders. It got upheld by a judge and then overturned. But I think it will get approved. But to Mark's point, you know, like, I was on the boat last week and I was speaking to a rare earth miner from Australia who their mine in WA has found all this rare earth that are essential for manufacturing components of robots. And that's the kind of thing that you're talking about, Mark. And then I connected him with another guy I met on the boat who's a Canadian rare earth investor. So I met one guy in the sauna and the other guy as a friend that I was traveling with. And so he's already had a 10X on that stock in 1 year, which is a little known miner out of Australia. So, and what's that? In one year, 10X in 1 year. And, you know, they've got the US government offering them all kinds of money now, but they want to control the supply and they've got all these things going on in the background. So guys, it's interesting out there, and it's really, really important to just think critically around these things. because this unrest, this movement of capital, your job is to get your bucket and put it in the river that's moving, right? That's how you catch capital. That's how you grow money, is being across it and being aware of it. So yeah, it's, and I just, for fun, I went to Grok, which is Elon's AI, and I asked it, what are the odds in your opinion of Elon 8Xing the company to achieve this $1 trillion package? And its wording, and I wrote it down because I thought it was fantastic and I think it's good for all of us. It said, I'd root for it as a catalyst for innovation, but investors should view it as motivational theater, not a guaranteed payout. But I love that line where it said, I'd root for it as a catalyst for innovation. And that's really what's going to happen. There's going to be absolute fortunes. Like, the biggest example is obviously Nvidia. You know, they make the chips that go in the AIs, and everybody needs their chips, and now they're minting billionaire employees. So really starting to dig in and go down those rabbit holes. All right, a couple of things just before we finish. I did I saw a fun little thing this week, which was a guy called Adam Livingston that I follow on Bitcoin. He's got an amazing channel. He calls himself the Bitcoin Wizard, and he's probably one of the smartest guys. I think he's probably the most entertaining Bitcoin commentator out there. And he did this exercise where he's roasting Mark Zuckerberg, and he was saying, look, Zuck, I love you, bro, but like, you invested $46 billion into the failed metaverse, right? Between 2020 and 2024, they invested $46 billion dollars, lost, right? And I went to Grok and I said, if Mark Zuckerberg had just bought Bitcoin, instead of backing his crazy digital crazy idea that he had, and he just bought Bitcoin, how much do you reckon that Bitcoin would be worth today had he just invested that money from 2020 to today? Have a guess. 100X. Done nothing. Just literally bought Bitcoin.
Oh, no.
He'd have $220 billion of Bitcoin on his balance sheet, right? But instead, he's got a digital hole in the ground.
He's got Oculus.
He's got a pair of glasses that nobody uses. So it just shows you sometimes that the simplest thing is to, back to conviction and so on. So
and also, not only that, one of the smartest guys on the planet gets it wrong. So
correct.
If your business fucks up and you don't feel you're the lone ranger, you did it in spectacular style in public.
And that's the failures that you guys know about. Imagine all the failure. Yeah. You know the amount of companies these guys will be setting up in the background that you don't even hear about, that they're spending tens of millions on, that are this chump change.
Amazon's famous for it.
So it's Google. I mean, Google's got its own venture fund. They just acquire companies by the hundreds.
Not a 46 billion, to be clear.
No, but I'm saying acquiring ideas, not a lot of the same light of day.
Yeah.
To be fair to Zuck and all these big companies, like, they don't have a choice, right? Like, they have to continue to try and
innovate.
Grow their share price and innovate and whatever. But we do have a choice, right? Like, we do have a choice to choose the simple option sometimes. And I think that's the main point, right? Like, sometimes you try and overcomplicate it. I know I do.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right, guys, we're just about done. Where are we? Yeah, I think we're top of the hour. Let's call it. There's a few things I would like to get to next week. Eric, talking about the demographer, Simon, that you had on, talking about the future of Australian housing and affordability. I think we're in for some fun and games there, with this new Labor policy of 5% and all that. But let's talk about that for next week.
Yeah.
I want to congratulate all the people who are joining us for our Dubai trip. We got 60 people. 60 people coming to Dubai. It was going to be like a little side thing. And then all of a sudden we just did one or two posts on Instagram and one shout out on the pod and bang.
I went on my Instagram today and just said, hey guys, thank you very much, but we've now closed the registration. We've closed down the landing page, and three people reached out. One of them was like, oh no, I was just going to book, my business partner and I just confirmed, and two others.
Yeah.
So I think if we actually wanted to and went, okay, let's make this even bigger, I reckon we can get 80 to 90 people. But the reason why we wanted to keep it to 60, there's a couple of reasons. One is it works. It's a good number. If it's too big, then it becomes hard to control and you can't give everyone the attention that they need. Secondly, you know, we're going to some of the, I mean, some of the best restaurants in the world. You know, one of them that's in Dubai at the moment, which is a rooftop, and we've got the whole terrace that they rarely give away to anyone, they said. And that's a maximum of 60 up there. So all of a sudden you take 70 and then there's 10 people that got to be put inside. So I think, it's great. And this is something, guys, that this was a little test, to be honest with you. You know, Adam and I kind of got together and thought, you know what, actually, let's try and do a bit of an event, right? Rather than just a couple of mates going and, you know, my wife and the kids and stuff. And yeah, 60 people. Full on, ready to rock. But this is something that we're going to be doing. I'd love to do something like this twice a year, to be honest, not just in Dubai, but other locations. I'm working on something very, very cool in the background right now that nobody knows about. It's about real estate investing around the world and opportunities to invest in boutique hotels around the world, which is a very, very interesting investment opportunity. I've known these guys for quite some time, and it's something, and they're building hotels all around the world. So how good would it be to have these events so people can learn about kind of investing outside of their 5 kilometer radius that they need to touch and feel and travel the world and connect with amazing people. Like some of the people that are coming on this trip are very, very successful entrepreneurs, investors. It's actually very, very, very exciting, to be honest with you. And I've been in the background over the last few days, back and forth, with the, coordinators in Dubai and, you know, the restaurants and the beach clubs, and just making sure, like, I'm like, what's the premium pack? What's the premium package? I want the best. I want people to just, like, go, this was the best experience Eric, I have ever had, you know?
Are we going to see you in Conor McGregor style Versace pajamas, bro?
Oh, man. No, honestly, no. You know what? I'm getting the Gucci slip-ons with the big fur. You know the ones that he wears?
I love it. I love it.
Remember that first boat trip when you wore that? When you wore your
I'm Netflix, wearing that, James.
That tablecloth?
I'm wearing jet, mate.
Come on.
I'm not eating for the next 6 weeks, so I could get lose a little bit of this, body fat.
I would have prayed for the moths to come and destroy that, but anyway, looks like you preserved it.
I've got I've confirmed some friends who are coming from Dubai to speak. These guys are Aussies making millions of dollars a month in Dubai since they moved there. Got a hugely successful business, so the people on this trip are going to be able to have a round table just with 60 of us in the room, Q&A. Yeah. It's going to be fantastic how they got there, how they did, not in real estate, just in business, how they started, how they're doing it. So it's going to be a really cool, intimate experience.
Yeah. You going, cool. James?
But I'm not. No.
Nah. Are you coming, Mark?
Not this one, but the next one I'm keen.
Yeah, we'll go Byron to Dubai. Talk about polar opposites.
Exactly.
There will be more. But honestly, the more research that I do, Adam, on Dubai, right, places to go, things to see, because I'm bringing the family, right? So, like, what they have there, people don't understand, I don't think. What they've actually built and like, the museums and the different worlds they've created and – oh my God, the hotels and the restaurants and it's the amusement parks, the water parks. It's nothing like I've ever seen. I'll be honest. It's just
cue the haters in the comments now that are going to tell us it was all built on slave labor.
Slave labor in the middle of the desert. Hopefully we don't get a dust storm.
All right. I mean, you're right. You've got to actually go and see this stuff. Like, I think Dubai is actually the real life Hunger Games. Like, they're building a world for rich people. It's like flat out, that's what they're doing. And they're doing it in plain sight.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I watched that movie last night. What's that one with Matt Damon where Elysium, where he flies off into outer space? That's basically what's happening.
Yeah.
It's inspiring, guys. At the very least, it's inspiring to think bigger. And that's what I always say about travel is just like getting out there, think bigger. When I was in Spain, just this week, one of the most inspiring things I saw out of the blue, the guy I was traveling with and his wife, they're massive tennis fans. And so we went down to where Rafa is in Mallorca. Rafa Nadal is from the east coast of Mallorca. And we went down to this little harbor because we heard Rafa's boat was in, and he's massive you know, super yacht was there, or catamaran super yacht type thing. And his house is right there on the bay of his hometown, this massive palatial house. But what we went and did was we went to the Rafa Tennis Academy. And have you seen this? If you haven't, look it up on YouTube. Rafael Nadal, you've been there. Like, it's got all the accommodation. It's got world-class courts, nutrition coaches, psychologists. Kids come in and pay like $10,000 a month for their kid to be there with world-class coaching. It's just like, talk about a vision. Like, talk about thinking big. It was just absolutely amazing.
The guy that just won the US Open, Alcaraz, beat Sinner. He comes from that academy.
Ah, does he?
Yeah,
well, it's like a university campus. Academy. Yeah, it's like a university campus. Tours, merchandising shops, it's just cafe, restaurants, everything. It's just incredible.
It's the best.
So you just got to keep thinking big, guys. Like, don't let this shit depress you. Don't let them win. Just know what's changing. Know what's coming. Lean into it. Look for opportunities, because around chaos is where the opportunities are. The movement of money equals wealth for those who are aware. Just don't sit there, you know, jacking off the porn or watching maps or whatever. Get out there and actually engage.
It's funny. It's funny, right? Because we're all susceptible. We're all susceptible.
Throw the last minute bomb in there.
Well, young men are watching this show, man. Like, that's no joke. I honestly believe it's fucking them up.
Yeah, like, I say the swear word, but the amount of times Adam's talked about someone jacking off to something on this podcast. Oh, shit.
Oh, anyway, God. So be aware, be curious.
Last Eric, thought, Mark, this is going south quickly. Eric, this is going south quicker than the US dollar. Mark?
I was just going to say, so we're all susceptible to it sometimes. Like, sometimes we reach our goals even, right? Like, you got people out there struggling. Sometimes people out there successful, they reach their goals, and then they kind of lose the motivation to kind of keep pushing forward and to have that big vision that you're speaking about. I've been like trying to get back, because it's like Dom and I achieved a lot of things that we set out to achieve when we started our e-com brand. And now I've been struggling to try, not to find motivation, but it's like just pushing the next limits, right? And so I've been going to the gym, and I've been listening to, you know, the little montages of like all the positive, just to try and like break the pattern. And I'm listening to one of them today when I was training, and David Goggins comes on, and David Goggins says, and someone's an NFL footballer says to him, you know, hey man, like, how do you have the motivation, and how do you have the mental strength, you know, to keep going, to keep pushing forward? And David Goggins goes to him. I asked him, I said, what did you want to be when you were a kid? He said, I wanted to be an NFL footballer. He goes, what was your biggest dream? He goes, be an NFL footballer. He goes, and then you made it. He goes, I don't have a finish line. He goes, I just keep going, keep looking for chaos, keep pushing. And sometimes that's what we need to find, right? It doesn't matter where we are on our journey, but we've got to find that grit to keep pushing past whatever we set as a goal.
It sounds like me at the moment, to be honest. I just keep pushing and keep creating chaos. And Jen asks why. I'm like, I'm just one of those crazy ones. I enjoy it at the moment.
Finish line.
It's what drives me.
Stay hard.
Stay the stress hard. And the anxiety drives me.
That was a good tip though, Mark, because that I've been doing the same at the gym. Motiversity, it's called, I think, the channel on Spotify. So if you just go up to Spotify and put in motivation, these guys come up first. And it's just like David Goggins, Tom Brady, a mirror, like
it's Aaron angry, Thomas.
It's angry black guys. Get up, you loser. You're destined for greatness. It's just fucking awesome, right? I love
some
it.
Of the stories.
Where's Watson, but just not in jail?
There's some, Adam smacking himself in the gym.
Yeah, they totally. take these 30-second clips and they tell a story. Like, there was another one where it's like,
they're amazing.
Like, Eric Thomas is talking about Buster Douglas, and Buster Douglas's mum was telling everyone that he was going to beat Tyson. And then 2 days before the Tyson fight, Buster Douglas's mum dies. And then he fights Tyson. He gets knocked down in the first round. And then he comes back and he wins. And it's like he made a choice that he could either prove his mum right or, you know, and it's just like shit like that is, you know, it's what it's all about. It's what's being human. It's what's being human is all about in a world that's moving to AI, guys.
Get it in you, guys. Get it in you, because it's the antidote in a way to all this negativity and stuff. Is build your body, build your mind, notice what's happening, and you need to double down on that stuff, because if you don't, you're just going to spiral. Like, say, "Oh, this is depressing." Yeah, it is fucking depressing. But are you going out and hitting the weights hard? Are you pumping good shit into your head, or are you just listening to the depressing shit? With that said, guys, thank you again for another great week. Hope the you guys enjoyed it at home or on the trains or planes or automobiles, wherever you're tuning in from. We appreciate you. Make sure, if you haven't liked or subscribed, make sure you do. Drop us a comment if you want to, and we look forward to seeing you on next week's session. Bye for now.
Hey there. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Unemployable. If you'd like to watch another episode, just click there.